This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Oh, we got a big one today. Let's go. Tinky and Tierney ready to roll on this beautiful Wednesday around the country, CBS Sports Radio. Tinky and Tierney coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free. Just go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. So we got a lot of stuff lined up. We very rarely do three guests, but today it makes sense to do that. We'll chat with Darren Waller, outstanding tight end for the Raiders. We'll get with Josh Norman for the Bills, from the Bills, cornerback Maceo Teague, number two team in the country, the Baylor Bears, who are undefeated. They're rolling. They've had a good couple of days. They've knocked off a couple of the top 15 teams in succession in Texas Tech and Kansas in a three-day span. We'll do that. Good news on Patrick Mahomes. We'll play something from Andy Reid a little bit later as well. And, of course, Philip Rivers hanging him up. And, of course, a big day in Washington. Teak, how you doing today, buddy? You good?
Yeah, it was amazing watching the inauguration. I didn't even think about taking my kids out of school to watch it. They were both in school earlier today. I know my older kids were home because they're homeschooling up in Connecticut, but so they got to see it. But I didn't even think about it with Brooklyn. And, it was kind of an awesome experience seeing the first African-American and first woman vice president in Kamala Harris, but obviously Joe Biden. And the healing that feels like is about to happen. That was the big takeaway from it. It was great to watch it.
I listened to it, you know, because I had to go film a show today for the Big East, and I was in the car for a long time, and I just got to hear the words and had to create my own imagery with certain things. Then of course I got home and you know we were watching it. Jen recorded it, but to actually hear the words, I almost enjoyed, because I was just sitting in traffic. The George Washington Bridge was a mess today, mess both ways, and I got to hear it all. You know, God bless everybody, and there's a lot of differences, as we know. You got to root for our president. I don't care if I know that this, you've heard this a million times, and you know what, I mean, if you're so against our new president that you're not going to vote for him, whatever we say is, but cheer for him and support him, whatever we say is not going to matter, but that's our leader. And just like our last president, that was our leader. And the objective is to get us to calm waters and safe warmers and waters and make this this next generation better for our kids and for all of us. And I'm praying for everybody. So it was a good day. Just want to get that out there. And a great day for Philip Rivers, because, listen, he came to his own conclusion, Teak. Ready to hang him up. Never won the Super Bowl, got to an AFC Championship game, 64,000 yards, whatever it was, 400-plus touchdowns, the greatest player never to win a Super Bowl, one of them. An amazing accumulation of stats and a hell of a player. I've always been a huge Rivers fan, just tough and an easy leader, kind of a throwback, loves playing football, as evidenced by his decision. Now he goes and coaches high school down in Alabama. There's been better quarterbacks than Rivers. Yeah, there have been for sure. There's been guys who have won a lot more. But, you know, listen, Rivers hanging them up to me is a little bit of a, I don't say sad day, I don't overstate it, but it's definitely a changing of the guard. They don't, you know, quarterbacks are, he was an inherently tough quarterback and a really good quarterback. And I loved watching Philip Rivers play. I always did.
Yeah,
I always love watching him play.
He is, look, he'll be remembered for his longevity. I mean, 17 years and missing only games because he was sitting behind Drew Brees at the beginning of his career. That's the only reason he didn't play for two seasons out in San Diego at the time. And ultimately, 240 straight, he was always available. It's not dissimilar to the interesting trade partner that he was associated with back in 2004 when Eli was drafted by the Chargers. By the Chargers, and the Giants took Phillip Rivers at number four, and they swapped. So, I mean, it was really interesting to see the parallels of their careers, and I know they'll always be tied. Rivers obviously has the statistical advantage. He probably even has the eye test advantage. Mm-hmm. The one thing that you put in Eli's check column, and it's an enormous like magic marker check, is the two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs. But that takes nothing away from what was an unbelievable dream. He even said this, his childhood dream to play football for as long as he did. And I don't think a lot of people knew who he was coming out of North Carolina State and hadn't seen him play in the ACC. And he's got this odd, you know, basically side-armed but over-the-top delivery. He's like, how does he even complete passes? Yet he talked trash like no other.
Yep. I mean,
he's
never cursed, though.
Never cursed. Daggone it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of cursing going on. But
he's a pure trash talker.
But a throwback, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, he'll be missed for sure because he was unique. You know, he didn't fit the corporate mold of the CEO quarterback in the NFL. It wasn't him. He spoke it and wore it right on his sleeve. And I think that's why his teammates and his opponents respected him so much.
Yeah, yeah. While a lot of his peers were up there wearing a couple of $1,000 suits, he was rocking a bolo tie. Remember that?
I know.
You know, I actually had one of those.
Oh, my Lord.
I did. And I wore it for a little bit. Yeah, it was like a little year phase. I don't know where. Maybe a 90210. I don't know where it came from. I got it for Christmas one year. I actually wore it. I show up at my girlfriend's house. She said, what is that? Who are you? What is that? Didn't wear it much after that. All right. So, you take, you know, 421 touchdowns. Just to, before we get into now what's next for the Colts, to put it in proper context. So, he's got a little more than 200 more touchdowns than picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned this yesterday. Joe Namath has 50, totally different game, clearly. But Joe Namath, 50 more picks. 50 more picks than touchdowns. Led the league in picks four times. Terry Bradshaw, two more touchdowns. Just two more touchdowns than picks. Dan Fouts, 12 more touchdowns than picks. And even the great Johnny Unitas, who is thrust into, you know, that Peyton, Brady, you know, stratosphere below them, but kind of inserted there more than the other names I just mentioned for sure. Even Unitas only had 37 more touchdowns and picks. You mm-hmm. want a comparison to how much the game has changed? Again, Phillip Rivers had over 200 more touchdowns and picks, and he's not considered, while he'll be a Hall of Famer, not considered one of the top two or three or even four from this generation necessarily.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer,
totally
though.
Different.
Yeah,
totally
he's
different.
Look, he's a Hall of Famer. There's no question about that. It's just a matter of when he gets in. And which one of his peers are going to be pushing him? Like, does Drew Brees retire? Because Drew Brees is going to be a first ballot guy. Phillip Rivers probably could be if there are no other quarterbacks on the ballot. I don't think Peyton's going to linger for any years. He'll be first ballot. I'm trying to think who else is recently retired that could linger.
Eli.
He's probably, you know, maybe second ballot guy. So maybe that becomes a debate, to be honest with you. You know, if Eli doesn't make it his first year and then the second year they go head-to-head, which would be fitting, would be very fitting. And look, there's an argument that Phillip should be in, you know, ahead of Eli because of what he did in the regular season, talking about Hall of Fame credentials, not, you know, postseason.
For sure.
Failures.
I don't think anybody really give you a spirited debate on that outside of the devout Giant fans who are not listening to you
when
you delineate between, you know, the Super Bowls and maybe just the broad meat of the accomplishment. Week to week, Phillip Rivers was better, but we don't need to drag Eli into this. Eli's going to get in. Phillip's going to get in here.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to the multitude of options for the Colts, who, by the way, you want to talk about an appealing landing spot for a quarterback right now. Top 10 defense in terms of points per game. Top 10 offense in terms of total yards and points per game. They've got one great defensive player, a couple of really good defensive players, a young blossoming crew of wideouts A couple of, you know, that running back stable is far from empty. They've got more than one, even though a few guys have been banged up. We know about the offensive line. We know about Frank Reich. When you look as a coach and an organization, they're pretty much top notch. When you look, I've actually got probably, as I look at the page, 8 or 9 viable options.
Yeah.
But I want to flip this to you first. The best option for the Colts would be?
The best option for the Colts would be Matt Stafford, trade for Matt Stafford. But I don't know if that's going to happen, but it could. We'll see what Dan Campbell's tolerance is, who's now officially the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And congrats to my former teammate, Dan Campbell, who
we
got to
get him on the show soon.
He was fantastic. He was just—he's a great dude. He's been toiling for years, learning the craft of being a coach, both as a position coach and then as a interim head coach with the Dolphins, we all remember, and then now with the New Orleans Saints. We're previously with the New Orleans Saints. Now he's with the Detroit Lions. I love this hire because he's tough. He reminds me of what Mike Vrabel brought to the Tennessee Titans. So just as an aside, I'm excited for my former teammate, Dan Campbell, and congratulations to him. Yeah, we will certainly get him on the show at some point, but he's
got
to make...
By the way, Tiki got 6 years too. He got the extra, exactly. He got the sixth year.
Exactly.
Good for him.
But he's got to make a decision about what he's going to do at quarterback.
And is that his decision, though, with with Stafford?
I'm assuming that, you know, when you hire a new head coach, it's, all right, coach, we got to do this, 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 and this, this. Tell us your plan. And so at some point, he's got to have some input regarding who his quarterback is. That is the responsibility you give a head coach.
Yep.
Now, knowing Dan, he's probably going to run it back with Matt Stafford because he knows that Matt Stafford's one of the great quarterbacks who doesn't get a ton of the credit in the NFL. But with that said, if all things being equal, and I have a list too of some of the veterans that are out there and maybe some of the draft equity that's available for him, of all the potential free agents or guys that could be traded for, and I'm talking Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Stafford, Ryan, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Jameis, and Mariota, and in the draft, Matt Stafford would be the number one wish list if I was the Detroit Lions. The Colts. If I was the Indianapolis Colts, pulling him from the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. After that, BT, I'm going in the draft, and I'm taking Mac Jones or someone like that. Because I think that some of the other vets, there's too many question marks around them. The one that doesn't have a question mark as a vet is Matt Stafford.
Stafford would be my top choice, too. And without being repetitive, because you mentioned Matt Ryan, you mentioned Andy Dalton. You didn't mention Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you absolutely have to talk about that as a possibility. Go ahead.
I just worry about what you have to give up to get Deshaun Watson.
It's Deshaun Watson. I wouldn't worry about that at all for a team that could conceivably win the Super Bowl next season if Deshaun Watson's your quarterback.
They've been historically very conservative about giving up draft equity because they know, and talking about the Colts now, how they know how valuable it can be. And we saw this, 3 or 4 years ago, Luck's penultimate year? You saw them remake their offensive line really in a draft. And so I don't think that they're going to, you know, give up the equity to get a Deshaun Watson. But if they do, that would be the ultimate one. But
you got to shoot for the top.
That's a lot to give up, though. And I don't know if you necessarily need them because your team is really well put together. You know what I mean? So you're going to that conversation. Are we a quarterback away, or are we just a game manager type player away?
Well, no, they're not. To me, they're not a game manager player away. And I'm not even sure if you're saying that, but you're definitely not there is no way. See, if the Colts want to win a Super Bowl, it's one thing if they just want to be, you know, merely competitive and battle the Titans for.
They don't need to do that, though.
To do what?
They don't need to put that bar that low.
Precisely. That's what I'm saying.
Their goal should be Super Bowl.
That's what I mean. So if the one objective is to again, battle the Titans for a couple of years for divisional supremacy. No, you don't need to necessarily go out there and get Deshaun Watson. You can attack that through a different course of action, some of which we've already mentioned. If you want to actually, you know, go to Arrowhead in front of 70,000 people next year and beat that team, or go up to Buffalo with Josh Allen, if things, you know, I know guys get hurt and things change, but I'm assuming both of those teams will be fully legit next year. You're going to probably need somebody like Deshaun Watson to get the job done, in my opinion. Now, you didn't mention Jimmy Garoppolo. I wouldn't do that. Mm-mm. Let me give you one option, though, that you didn't mention. You could throw out there Dak Prescott, but that seems like a clickbait pipe dream. I don't know if I love this, but I would be somewhat open to... Now, I've got to do more player evaluation on this one part, but because if you talk about the draft, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they have the 21st overall pick, which would be problematic in getting Deshaun Watson, because if you're going to make a trade, and if the Texans are going to really trade Deshaun, they're going to trade him with the Jets, who have number two, with the Dolphins, who have number three. Number 21, I don't think it fits what the Texans should be trying to do if you draft Deshaun. So if you trade Deshaun. So I'm with you. While I would do it if I'm the Colts, I don't think the Texans would do it with them.
Mm-hmm.
What I could do, right? I could sign Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year, right?
Hmm.
And assuming if they stay at the 21st spot, the Colts, now you're not going to have access to a guy like Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence. You might have access to Mac Jones. What about for a year, Fitzpatrick and Trey Lance for a year?
I don't know if I trust Ryan Fitzpatrick to be what Ryan Fitzpatrick was for the Miami Dolphins.
He's been that for a couple of years, though.
Keep
saying that. The guy keeps balling.
I understand
we
that.
Keep
but
saying
you're,
this.
But you're conveniently forgetting the pitfalls of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Which are? What, the picks?
Which are the interceptions and I go from throwing 400-yard, having three straight 400-yard games with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to getting benched because I just can't get it done.
Wait, you talking about getting benched with the Dolphins?
No. Getting benched by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, he got benched because you're paying a guy, he's the first overall pick. You had to put Jameis back in. Jameis was suspended.
Yeah, but he played.
That's why he played the first two games.
Yeah, and he played poorly in the third one. That's my point.
No, I understand, but they were going to go back to Winston.
I don't think that the Colts want to play that. It's a difficult game, and you really have to manage it well. And at the end of the day, you also have to believe that Trey Lance is going to step in and be that guy. And I don't know. I mean, I can't sit here, and I'm not going to pretend to be some guru. I'm not going to be Mel Kiper and tell you Trey Lance is going to turn into the greatest quarterback we've never heard about.
No, I agree.
Blah, blah, blah.
Me neither.
I have no idea.
I have no clue.
I think he is a project, and that scares the hell out of me if I'm a team that can win this next year or the year after that.
Fair enough.
So I wouldn't. I don't love that.
Gotcha. The reason why I like it more than you is, and again, this is all predicated on me doing, from a Colts point of view, doing our, you know, miles of due diligence and walking away saying, we love this kid Lance. We know he's raw. He's not ready for a year or so because he played one game this year, plus the competition's lower. So it would take a year to really gas him up and get him ready. If they believe that his talents would speak to an eventual, you know, leap of faith of that magnitude, and it's kind of a leap of faith. I'm with you, but the ability to retain your draft capital, which they would do because you'd be drafting him at 21 or maybe moving up a few slots to nab him at like 15 or 16, whatever it requires, and all you have to do is merely pay Fitzpatrick $12-15 million for a 1 year stopgap. I think there's worse options than maybe raiding the cupboard and giving up everything you have for Stafford, or doing that for Matt Ryan, or doing that for Carson Wentz to reunite him with Frank Reich. I'm not saying it's perfect. To me, it's interesting. You don't like it as much. I get it. But the point is, they have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's
they do.
The point.
They really do.
They got a lot of options, and they're a good franchise. And they usually, when they have time to decipher what they want to do, they generally do the right thing, which leads us to this conversation coming up next. It's not just the Colts, and it's appealing. Good offense, good defense, good coach, as we said. But there's other jobs out there that we anticipate will be open, or theoretically are already open. But is the Colts the most appealing one? What's another landing spot if you're a quarterback that you say, man, I'm about to shake free contractually, and I could go there? That's where I want to go. Is there a team better than the Colts to align yourself with? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Coming up next segment, George Springer on the move. We knew he would be not necessarily landing where a lot of people anticipated he might. We'll debate that. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next. And usually, very rarely, I mean, I could count on one time, on one hand, the amount of times we have three guests on a show, Super Bowl excluded, stuff like that. But we've got Maceo Teague from Baylor, number two team in the country. We've got Darren Waller, outstanding tight end for the Raiders. We've got Josh Norman for the Bills and in their, you know, anticipation of the matchup with the Chiefs. So we've got a lot of good guests, great conversations, including this one, as we bridge, cross the bridge from what specifically should the Colts do to, well, if you're a quarterback and you think you might either be cut for, you know, financial reasons or whatever, or just flat out dealt, what are the most desirable positions? I'm going to tell, this isn't my first target, but I'm going to give you one that I think people would omit from their list, because you'll get a lot of certainly Colts and a few other, you know, maybe if you view the Jets situation with Rob Saleh, Washington has a very different culture right now, which is palpable. But people, to me, will forget about the Pats, who had a lot of people check out. I think it was eight players opt out of the season due to COVID. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you just have to imagine here, Teague, that they'll find a way to restock the cupboards and come back with a vengeance. Not saying you're going to go 13-3, but they know that they need to upgrade their weapons, not just at the quarterback spot, but everywhere on offense, and I think that they probably will. Don't sleep on the Pats.
Do you think that was intentional, that all those guys opted out? Do you think that Bill Belichick basically said, look, we know we're losing Tom Brady. You guys should rest your bodies for a year.
Nah.
Opt out.
No. You know why?
Charge up and come back next year.
I hear you. And, like, I understand why you would throw that out there, even with half a smile. But at the end of the day, listen, the earnings power is
yeah, they
finite.
Still got paid.
No, they get paid full?
No, they definitely didn't get
they
paid
didn't get
full.
They didn't get paid
but
close to full.
But it was a lot of veterans.
I understand that. But,
you know, there's always been that inkling that, you know, hey, Tom,
I don't think so.
Take a less than market deal.
You mean that stuff? Different.
Make $15 million, Tom, while everybody else who's can't hold your jock strap and making $30 million a year. Yeah, take half price, Tom. We'll scoot you a little bit under the table.
I've always said that. I've always said that. But listen, I think the sacrifices ended to that extent the day Brady left the building. It's
one thing
for other players to say, you know what, I'll take it on the chin. I'll take a little shave or a haircut because I know I got Brady who's going to get me to a Super Bowl. Without Brady, I think anything that happened last season with the Pats and their players was just because they were uncomfortable or they didn't want to risk it because deep down they knew they were going to be an average football team, whatever. You know, I wouldn't put anything past Belichick, but I would put it past his ability to manipulate the minds of veterans to that degree.
Yeah, especially that many. I mean,
the number was eight.
Yeah, which is a lot of guys. I think the Saints are probably the most appealing to me. Again, I think that Jameis Winston, that's why on that list we're doing regarding those potential acquisitions or trades or whatever it may have been to the Indianapolis Colts. Jameis Winston is interesting because he has the potential to lead the league in touchdowns, but he also has the potential to, and has done both, lead the league in interceptions. So it's a boom or bust. He's high risk, but he's also could be high reward. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Saints are letting him go. I think the Saints have their eyes firmly set on re-signing Jameis Winston this offseason. So it sounds interesting, but it's not, I don't think, realistic for the Indianapolis Colts. But
for how much money? Like, what is Jameis going to command? And what if somebody comes out of nowhere and says, hey.
Yeah, he's going to make what Teddy Bridgewater-ish made, $21 million, 20-something million, maybe 25.
Yep.
If they think that he's getting pressure from other teams. But Jameis knows that he's got one more chance to resurrect his career. And he's not old. He's 26, right? Mm-hmm. I think he just turned 26, or he's 26 right now. He's got one more chance. If he goes to, let's say, I don't know, let's say Jacksonville, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. But let's just say if he went to Jacksonville and flamed out, or Denver. Let's say he goes to Denver and flames out, because I think Jacksonville, we know what's going to happen there. But Denver might hang on. to Drew Locke and see him as their future. But let's say he goes to Denver and flames out. Yep. He's never getting another chance to be a starting quarterback
not
in the NFL.
Not a big money. No way.
Exactly. Not a big money. So I think his best option is the New Orleans Saints. But with that being said, if I'm whoever the free agent and quarterback is, the Saints are the most appealing right now. They have a good defense. They have really good weapons offensively, especially if they can get Michael Thomas healthy.
What if they trade him? Suddenly you have to view the offense very differently. And report is they might try to trade him. Yeah, they got no salary cap room at all.
But he's 27 years old. He had a very – I mean, he was injured from day one of this season. He played through it, and this according to the report, he played through all of those injuries.
Not at the beginning he didn't.
No, not at the beginning.
He got hurt and he missed a ton of – on the back
back end. I'm saying the back end. He played it all this year. It's because he thought Drew could get to a Super Bowl and he wanted to be a part of it.
Yep.
He probably should have gotten surgery, you know, weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But he played through all those injuries and, you know, he was ultimately a non-factor when it mattered most for his team. But I can't see them moving on from him. They just paid him. And so it wouldn't make any sense. But so to me, the best place if you're a free agent guy is the New Orleans Saints for quarterback. There's no doubt about it.
You know, I don't think it's even close, and I really do think it's the Colts. You know, not without resetting everything that we hit in the first segment, but you know, the Saints, you're still going to have to go through Brady and the Bucs next year. It's mm-hmm. number one. You're in salary cap hell, and there's report now yesterday that there's probably even $15 or $18 million lower the floor. The ceiling, which mm-hmm. is worse than anticipated. And then you look at the Colts, for the reasons we outlined, and they're just a good team and a good organization. But, you know, the Jaguars, even though I love what they're doing and what they're about to do with Trevor Lawrence, it's going to take them some time to get going. So they're not going to be an immediate threat. The Texans are a complete disaster. It's a two-team race. And you're looking at warm weather, you're looking at a couple of the domes. Like you go to Indianapolis, eight dome games. Tennessee, for the most part, weather's pretty damn nice. Jacksonville, nice. It might rain, but it's not going to be snow. It's not going to be cold. And the Texans, you know, confined conditions. We've been to that arena for a couple times, or that stadium for Final Fours and Super Bowl. So I think that, you know, if I'm a quarterback and I'm looking to maximize my ability to win, To me, it's absolutely the Colts. That also, I can avoid not only Brady, but I also avoid Aaron Rodgers for another year. Mm-hmm. I avoid any retooling that might occur in San Francisco in Seattle with Russell Wilson. You know, that's the spot.
Yeah,
that's the spot for me.
You just have Lamar Jackson in the AFC and Pat Mahomes and
Josh Allen.
I'd put
Josh over Lamar.
Lamar's
got a lot of work to do.
No order. Yeah, of course. The offense has got a lot of work to do. But there will be options for free agent quarterbacks this year, which is something that's rare because you used to never see them move. Now they're moving a lot.
It's fun, and it keeps it interesting, and we'll certainly keep you up to speed on it, no doubt. All right, Teague, let's get the update from ACK. We'll hit the inbounds, out-of-bounds part of the show coming up next. Mr. Springer, he's got a new address, not the one that a lot of fans were hoping for, but an interesting move by a team that's getting ready to maybe make a move. So that is on the inbounds, out-of-bounds menu. We'll get to Springer, some other stuff as well. ACK's update before that. Here's Rich right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Inbounds, out-of-bounds coming up in a moment. We'll get to we'll actually have a conversation about the Jazz who are rolling. We actually touched on them yesterday, but do they have that second viable score? Can they actually make some real noise this year? We'll debate that. George Springer's new address. But first, though, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy. Drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teak and I will answer the best one. So make us think. Send us something good. We'll hit it, and we'll give you some props on the air as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We got Maceo Teague, who's going to join us today from Baylor. The Bears are rolling. Only one team ranked above them. That's Gonzaga. So right now, Baylor, number two in the country. He's a really good player. They're an outstanding team. We've got Darren Waller from the Raiders. They're tight end, the whole world. He's awesome. And we've got Josh Norman, who's always fun to listen to as his Bills get ready for the Chiefs. But time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. Teague, you ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so the Jaguars hired Urban Meyer as their head coach and will, of course, now draft Trevor Lawrence, you would imagine, with the first overall pick. Now, they'll be promoting director of player personnel Trent Baalke. Told you this was going to happen. Told you this last week on the show that this would happen, and it has happened. Now, we all remember Baalke's tenure with the Niners that helped see him build the roster, went to the Super Bowl, also won a power struggle over Jim Harbaugh. Then that went up in flames, so he went to the obscurity, if you will, of Jacksonville, very quietly behind the scenes, kind of recrafted his image. He gets elevated, so we'll see what Trent does as a 2.0, if you will, as a GM. So Trent Baalke and Urban Meyer will be able to coexist in Jacksonville, in or out.
I'm going to say inbound to this, BT, because I think there is going to be a directive. Well, first of all, I think that Trent Baalke, and if he didn't learn from his mistakes, and that's a shame on him, but I think he will have learned from his issues that he had with Jim Harbaugh and will not repeat them, because otherwise he'll be out of the game permanently.
Yeah.
If it happens in two different places. But I also think that Urban Meyer, having had zero experience in the NFL, not as a player like Jim Harbaugh, is going to need a sounding board, so to speak. So I think the partnership has to work. Otherwise, Urban Meyer fails as well. So I'm going to say inbounds.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't like this. I really don't like this at all. I do not stamp this with any sort of approval for the Jaguars. Not a move that I would make if I'm running the show, to be totally blunt. Don't like it. Now, here's the thing, too. Even if you're right, and you would imagine that early on you'll have a honeymoon phase and they'll lean on each other and they'll, you know, certainly everything will be harmonious. Once Urban Meyer gets his NFL footing, which he will eventually get very fast because he's got that kind of a mind, and, you know, once that transition is gone, that transition is not going to be there forever. And then eventually Urban Meyer goes back to being what Urban Meyer's used to being, and that's the boss. And that's the boss with no checkpoints. And when you get the money at $12 million a year, and the length, as he did on the contract, and all the power stick that he got, if Trent Baalke didn't change a lot, then this thing is going to go up in flames. I would like to see it work. It is not the move that I would have made. I would not have made that move with Trent Baalke, so I'm going to say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Teague, the Utah Jazz have made the playoffs 4 years in a row. They improved to 10-4 on the season. They beat the Pelicans 118-102 last night, despite 32 more from Zion. Now, the Jazz sit second in the West and are allowing the fewest points in the West. They've always been a good defensive team, well-principled there for years. Donovan Mitchell leads the team. He puts in 24 a night, but no other player gives you more than 14 a game, so big disparity there. In or out, the Jazz are legitimate NBA title contenders right now.
I don't think they can beat the L.A. Lakers and get out of the West, and probably not even the Clippers. So I'm going to say out of bounds to this. They have some interesting players. Jordan Clarkson's a good guard. Mike Conley is there as well, obviously. So, I mean, it's not like there's bad players or top, you know, five or six defensive-rated team in basketball. And so that gets you so far but doesn't win you championships.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say out of bounds simply because unless they have another elite scorer, someone who can – As tends to happen, especially in the postseason, put his head down with Donovan Mitchell and go score 30.
Yep.
It's going to be hard for them just to get out of the West, much less now fight the super team in the East, which is the Brooklyn Nets, at least as good as they've been playing as of late.
Yeah, listen, I like the Jazz. I've given the Jazz props on this show for years, but you talk about getting out of the West, which is obviously the question based on being an NBA title contender. If they get the wrong matchup in round one,
yeah,
there's no guarantee they get out of round one. My answer is out of bounds. Let me throw, and again, I know they're tough, and I know that every coach in the Western Conference is hoping they don't have to see them in a seven-game series at any point. Because, again, well-principled defensively, very well-coached, nice roster chemistry. They've been their primary pieces have been together for a couple years. They've got a star that could drop the 50 spot on you when he has to or if he has to. The problem, though, is, you know, like you look at, all right, the Nets are playing tonight. Kyrie's going to play. Let's say Harden goes 3-for-18. And we've seen a few of those games from James Harden in his playoff pass, mainly in rounds 2 and 3. If that happens again, KD's there. It's not a big deal. Or if KD's off, you got Kyrie and you got James Harden. You don't need three, but you need two. You need to know that you got a second guy showing up, and it's not about, you know, him getting hot or maybe a few tip-ins around the rim or some alley-oops, some rim running like Rudy Gobert, who's a great defensive player. But you need to know you got a guy that can drill 30 if your star is having a rough night, double team would hurt, whatever it might be. So let me give you a trade that the Utah Jazz should seriously pursue. And how much fun would this make the West? Ready?
Go ahead.
Bradley Beal.
Interesting.
How's that?
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now I mean, got megas everywhere. We got powers everywhere.
You think Washington's willing to, I mean, because they got to really just redo everything. But now you have Westbrook there. So it's weird for Washington if
Very
they do
weird.
That.
You know what but I mean? They made it weird, though.
I know. I hear you. They made it weird. They did.
You know?
God, they're like the most in limbo, like confounding. I don't even know what to make of them.
No, they're right. This is the remnants of being poorly run for too long.
Yeah.
And although, you know, I mean, the new regime's not exactly distinguishing themselves right now in terms of, you know, bringing in Russ. And it's odd. Beal's a guy that I want to keep, but to try to get yourself out of that hole that you created, you might have to trade him. If you're going to trade him, I don't know if the Jazz have enough to satisfy them in terms of players now. Because
no,
then again, if you're Utah and you give up everything and you get Beal, does it really help? It would, but maybe not as much as you need. So, no, right now the Jazz are not legit contenders, but Beal would obviously. And Beal would change out for a lot of teams.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, speaking of acquisitions here, George Springer, one of the top position players, good ball player, obviously free agency this offseason, and the former Astro inks a six-year, $150. How about this? With Toronto. All right, so now Springer joins some young stars. You got Vlad, you got Bichette, you got Biggio. They're pretty interesting team. They're going to have some good position players. And Springer obviously brings a multitude of postseason experience. Maybe teaches them how to cheat a little bit as well. The Toronto Blue Jays are World Series contenders with this current roster, in or out?
I say out of bounds. Man, they gotta get out of the division. They got the Yankees and the Rays, and
well, the Rays lost Blake Snell.
True,
Rays are the same
that's
team.
A good point. That's good, but you know what?
I
hear
think the Rays
you.
Take a big step this back.
I hear you.
I do.
I gotta see that happen because. There was a couple of years, a few years ago, where you were just kind of like, who are the Rays? And then they just started beating people.
Yeah, like when they got rid of David Price, then
yeah,
Blake Snell emerged.
Like,
no, I hear
who
you.
The
they
hell
they
are
deserve
these guys?
The benefit. Yeah.
I got to see I got to have the benefit of the doubt with them for right early on in the season. Legitimate World Series champ. I got to stay out of bounds. I think it's going to be too tough of a road. But they made the wild card last year, and they won, 30-something games? I forget what it was. But they were above 500. That's what's most important. And I think that was a surprise.
Yep.
And so they're going all in, which I don't mind at all. And George Springer had to land someplace else. I think once that Astros team breaks up, you just kind of forget about the collective ire you had towards them. So leaving was probably one of the best things that he did to get paid a little bit. But I'm going to say out of bounds in that one.
I would say out of bounds, too. The Mets had an offer on the table for about $125 million. I'm actually, you know, Met fans thought Uncle Stevie would just roll in and cut the check for everybody. I think it actually showed great restraint on the part of the Mets because the Blue Jays needed Springer a lot more than the Mets needed Springer. Not that Springer wouldn't help. Of course he would. He's a very good fielder. He's an energy guy. You know, he's a glue guy, and he's a hell of a hitter. He's good. But, you know, by not making that big check or cutting that big check to Springer, it now enables you, in my opinion, to absolutely sign Lindor and to even make sure that you retain Michael Conforto, who I like a lot. He's a good hitter. They're not World Series contenders because as much as this spherical object in my hand is going to be going over the fence a lot, they're going to be giving up a lot of those, too. They don't have the pitching to win. They don't have the pitching to win. Now, something else that can – is there something else that can – if they get Trevor Bauer on like a one-year whatever kind of a deal, now things change. And there was a report, although it was rescinded, that they had agreed in principle with Michael Brantley, who I love, former Indian, last 2 years, I think, with the Astros, good lefty hitter, professional hitter, on-base guy, 300 average, good. Now – that's been rescinded, that report. So that's not a done deal. But even Brantley's not a pitcher, but still, that would further reinforce what they're building. Springer helps with the young guys. Guerrero dropped 35 pounds as per the report. Great signing for the Blue Jays. I love that they did this, but they need another arm if they want to win big.
Are you in or are you out?
Big since winning the 2019 Masters, Tiger. Tiger's played 10 tournaments. He's won just once at last year's Zozo Championship. Often complaining about back pain, stiffness. We know what it is. In his past 8 starts, he's not finished higher than 31st with an average finish of 52nd. And missing one of the cuts, the U.S. Open yesterday, the 45-year-old Tiger underwent a procedure to alleviate nerve pain in his lower back, his third time having it done, and will miss at least 2 events. If it's what I believe it is, I believe it's basically a microdiscectomy, which is what I had, where you just you zap it off because it's kind of hanging on the nerve. It's gone. You wake up. The moment you open your eyes from surgery, you feel better. But still, you've got to rehab a bit. You still cut flesh. You're not going to play for a month or two, whatever it is. But that's the third time he's had it, in addition to all the other stuff he's had. In or out, you do believe, or we do believe, Tiger Woods can be competitive on the PGA Tour, we'll say, at least another 3 years. In or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT. I think he
buzzkill you.
I think he just. I think he's going to tire of the like the body breakdowns. It just gets to a point where it's like, why am I doing this? There's so much. There's many other things that I'm sure he's interested in doing, including designing courses and having his name all over, you know, different projects. But I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he can still win on tour. It's a different question.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going to be competitive on tour on a consistent basis.
See, to me, that's a bit of a contradiction. I'm going to disagree. If you think he can win, and I know what you mean, but there are certain guys that we just don't think can win because they don't have the game.
Yeah.
They just don't have the stick. They don't putt. They don't hit it. Whatever their deficiency might be. They're too old. They're past their prime. And Tiger's not young, but we know he can still hang when he's playing well. My
he's 45 years old, man.
I understand that. Phil's 50.
He's not young.
Still, I know.
And Phil has Phil's not competing for titles. He looks good, but most weekends you're like, all right, Phil.
No, I hear you on that. But listen, Tiger's. I was gonna say Tiger's short game is better. Phil's actually very creative, as we know, maybe the most creative wedge player in the history of the game.
No doubt about it.
You know, but I think Tiger's leg putting, and that matters at majors. I know it's boring. Oh, what a great leg putter! Yay, you're a great leg putter. You know what I mean, but still, that is really important. And Tiger Woods is better at that than Phil. And Phil's a good putter. Tiger's better at that. Tiger's the superior iron player. Still one of the best on tour. My answer is inbounds, and not just because, I mean, it's not a team. I'm not a Tiger homer. I've been more of a Woods guy, of a Phil guy my life. But I just think the Tiger still is going to be able to, think on certain courses, where it's either muscle memory, it's intellect, it's a combination of both. When he's putting the ball in the fairway, which will be maybe every other round, whatever it equates to, once every third round, you know, he's still long enough. It's like he's Corey Pavin out there hitting 240-yard drives. He's still hitting at 305. I'm going to say inbounds, and maybe you want to say that's somewhat rooted in sentimentality, but I know as long as he's healthy that there are courses that Tiger Woods can still win on. I firmly believe that. Inbounds. Yep. Inbounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I got to check out the Tiger documentary. I have not seen that yet. I got to see that on HBO. On HBO Max. Did you see that yet?
I have not. I've heard mixed things about it.
Really? Everything I heard was great.
Yeah, it's just some of it delves into things and it talks about things that, I don't know, gets a little exploitive. But I guess Tiger's on board with it. It's all good.
Yeah. I don't know if he's on board with it. Did he consent to it or did he just do it? I don't know. Maceo Teague from Baylor next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.